to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's April 10th, 2023, 7 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Schumacher?
Here.
Schimpf is absent. Pasola?
Here.
Nosuski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen is absent. And Breivsteck?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, and let's see. We have a lot of visitors. I'm not sure I can name everybody off. So we have Dixie and Cheryl from the library. We have Daniel, and we have Susan from Friends, and we have... You could go ahead and state everybody. I mean, there's...
Mike,
yeah,
Molly,
yeah. And then...
I'm Abby, and this is will be Ryan eventually, Ben.
Okay.
I'm Rachel Reese.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Welcome. And then we have Craig from our city liaison. All right. And are there any amendments to the agenda? All right. Next presentation. Dixie. Okay. So we'd like to present something to you.
Dixie. Certificate of appreciation for 23 years of dedicated service. This certificate is presented to Dixie DeBoard. Through the years, your hard work and talents have contributed to the success of the library. Together, we take pride in your dedication and commitment to excellence. You will truly be missed. Enjoy your retirement. You deserve it.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
That's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, if we can go through and look at the minutes and if everything's good, somebody make a motion to approve. Clarence Goodman will present. Is that correct? Isn't it? It's tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know if it was on the tape that way or not, but it's tomorrow, so it would be
the 12th.
11th.
Is it 11th?
11th.
11th. Oh, 11th. Okay.
I'm checking.
Minutes as corrected. Yeah.
change on page 4 under for the library director, the date and number each of you.
Second.
Okay. Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have any correspondence?
Yeah.
Any public comment?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason that we came today is because of this item that we saw on the agenda, the discussion or approval to adopt regulations waiving the non-resident fee for persons under the age of 18. And we just wanted to make you aware of our situation when you're considering that. We all homeschool our kids, so we live in unincorporated Yorkville, and we homeschool. And the situation is a little bit different from someone that sends their kids to a private school because they would have access to a school library, and we do not. So we're paying a lot of taxes to the school, and then we're paying a lot of money for our homeschool curriculum. Yet we don't have access to a library in that situation, and so we just wanted to come tonight to see if you might consider that when you're discussing the possibility of us getting free library cards for our children.
Okay, great. Any other comments?
We're in the same boat.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Can we have the Friends of the Library report?
So we met this morning, and our current ending balance is $18,942.23. And there might be a drum roll and some yahoos. after much discussion over the past couple of months, it'll be becoming a 501c3. Got
approved.
Bit about cost. Looking for an attorney who is a little bit lower than our first quote, but it's not going to preclude us from moving forward. We're going to be doing that, so that you should hear more of proceeds of that. And the process itself takes roughly about 5-6 months before it's all in place. We're preparing for the used book sale. As you can see, our poster is already up, and we even have a member who is willing to go out if there are, you know, residents who have books but just can't lug them in. That member is willing, so we're going to put out a publication so people can look at that.
Okay.
And that's about all we discussed. That took up the whole time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great news.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Any staff comment?
She said we will desperately miss Dixie, but we know where she lives.
How's that to be taken? All right, can we have the report of the treasurer?
Okay, well, where do I get the report to tell you? I didn't see anything. We just stuck out, so I'm just going to entertain a motion to approve the bills as presented. Total bills are $28,261.11. Payroll for our three payroll periods in the amount of $58,189.48 for a total disbursements of $86,450.59.
Second.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, great. Can we have the report of the library director?
Yes, Shelley wanted me to just point out a couple of things for you. West Suburban Paranormal Investigations Program that we had 130 people attend. That was amazing.
It was a great event.
Yeah, I heard. Our library road trip has begun, and you pick up a a paper at the circulation desk, and you can travel around to 17 participating libraries. And it's very interesting to see what they all have different to offer. Get them stamped when you're there, bring them back, and your name will go into a drawing. And that drawing is funded by the Friends of the Library. Thank you very much. Belly of the Beast program, it's an Martin Luther King Jr. program that we were supposed to have in February. The scheduling got messed up, so he is definitely coming on April 11th at 7 o'clock. That's this week. Tomorrow, in fact. Our English Language Learners Open House is meeting on Saturday. If you're new to the community or country and looking to learn English, YPL is starting a conversation-based English language learners program for adults. That's a very good addition to our community. We did conduct 7 different interviews, and we did hire 2 new people. One began today, and do you know yet? We don't have a start date for the other girl. Garden Club decided to disband, and they donated everything they had in their treasury to us. So watch out for great gardening programs.
Yeah.
I just want to call your attention to our number of people on the statistics, the patron door count. We had to guess on that. Our patron counters at the doors were failing, and you'll see that line item on the bills list that Shelly purchased some new people counters, so hopefully that
would be
corrected.
Other than that,
I
don't have anything else. Great. Thank you. Anything from the city liaison?
So there's a little bit more talk about solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get very far. It's another discussion that's going to be tabled. But during that discussion, I brought up your concerns about the engineering and the roof and we decided that we were going to table that discussion for future.
Okay.
Once we get the new building up and going, then we'll pick that up. So I don't foresee anything coming in the near future on that.
Okay.
Also, I will set up a tour for the new building for anybody that wants to come in. So probably have to do it at a relatively early time, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay.
But I will get a hold of you guys and let you know, and I'll set it up for you. Try to do that maybe next week or the week after.
Okay.
See what the city staff can do over there. And so, yeah, you guys will like what you see.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry for you that you get more connections with these.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there anything else?
Nope.
No. Okay. Let's see. Standing committees. I don't think we had any meet over the last month. So... wow, no unfinished business. That's rude.
What question
was that?
Update about earlier meeting?
We didn't make an amendment.
For your standing committee.
6 o'clock.
The 6 o'clock meeting? 6 o'clock. I mean, we could bring it up, but yeah.
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Low down.
Yeah.
So. Mostly in the 6 o'clock, we just had before this, our physical facilities meeting. We talked about the chiller replacement and going and getting proposals from engineering firms to write the scope of work. So we would then have to use that to bid the work out. A new chiller is roughly a year to purchase, so there's a long lead on that process. So we wanted to get the engineering done, and we did talk about a repair that was made. The chiller is running today, and it's been so far a good idea. But it's 70 degrees, so it's not really a big load, but enough to start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's promising. And then we looked at, you know, our kind of 10-year plan for the building and the maintenance. So we just want to really look down the road and what's going to be needed, other things we would like to do, and start planning. That was the bulk of our meeting, was those two things, but it was very productive discussion.
Right. And then next month we'll bring to the board about the engineering.
Yeah, so we'll get some requests out for proposals for engineering firms. It's a relatively small scope, but it's critical to have that scope defined, and so we were able to get comparison quotes for the work. So.
Thank you. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have a question. Do they charge for quotes?
No. It's just a proposal. It's similar to what we've got for other.
But the engineering would be.
So there would be. We'd probably get get a few quotes, and we anticipate kind of a range we anticipate what that might be, but
something that we would vote on for next year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be the goal, is to be able to have that in time to get on next month's agenda.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to keep into consideration how much money that might cost us next year when we're talking about voting on things for future as well. So we have to take that into consideration. So engineering will cost thousands of dollars,
probably 5 to 10.
5 to 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which would be part of our budget down the road.
Yeah, but this is a must.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Do you need the board's approval to go out for RFQs or RFPs?
No, it's just that we would have it basically to accept and pick a firm we need and not to exceed.
Right.
Right. So that's what has to come to them.
I didn't know.
No, RFPs, we can request prices. We do that all the time. It's just that we vote on the money and it disperses.
Yeah, I just, for clarification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's see, next. I guess we can go into new business. Approve the resolution to adopt non-resident library card fees. So Shelley had put into our budget, had already, so if you look at our, which is the next topic, is our budget, it's actually already in there. As if it had already, assuming that we adopt it. So basically the budget, the way it is currently listed here that we're going to vote on, has already adopted that into it.
Can I read her statement?
Yeah, go ahead.
Director's recommendation is that the board once again approves the offering of non-resident services for obtaining library cards. I also recommend that we use the tax bill method, which would be calculated on an individual basis according to the criteria below. And that is what we have used for years and years.
So we have to adopt both of those, right?
They're two different ones.
Right.
Every year.
We just have to read every year, have to say we're adopting this again.
Yes, okay. We do.
All right. All right, so for approving the non-resident library card fees, so Shelley made the recommendation that we go ahead and do that. Rob put it into the budget for next year. Discussion? Anyone? Is anybody? I know we had discussed it in previous. I'll make a motion that we adopt the, approve the resolution to adopt the non-resident library card fee. Now, this is, how does this work?
Non-resident, right, so I've got to read. So non-residents don't pay a library tax like people who live within city limits do. So essentially, the method you're treating is as though you picked up that home and put it in city limits. So it is fair as it's
the
same net taxable value times the current library tax rate.
Okay.
So that's how that's assessed.
And
with tax bill method.
Oh.
And this is not something that we're adopting. This is something that we always use for years.
So this is the equitable way or the fair way.
Yes.
I thought.
I have a question. Yeah. there were two different.
There is.
This is the first one. So the first one that we're discussing is just resident versus non-resident, not the under 18. Not the money.
Not the free ones.
Which is my understanding is that this we've always adapted that.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. So this
is
first.
Right.
The first one, yeah.
The first.
Mm-hmm. So that's the under 18 is the one that we're
that's the
that was the new one
right.
We were discussing previously. Right.
So the under 18. So I just want a clarification. The under 18, we haven't adopted that yet. Is that correct?
No.
Correct.
We have to
approve
that.
Right. And is that, I want to make sure that that's also a part of this item.
That's a separate item.
Two separate ones.
Yeah, two different bullet points.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, then I guess, okay. So then I just want, then I have the motion out there to adopt the resolution, or to approve the resolution to adopt non-resident library card fees.
Second.
Jack, second, okay. Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
I do have a question.
Sure.
So is that annually we make that decision? Or
yes.
Or just once, one and done?
Annually. Every year.
Okay. Yes.
Reichstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Pessola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, again, can we give me the numbers for the eyes? Okay, so then I guess next then is the discussion and approval to adopt the regulations waiving the non-resident fee for persons under the age of 18. Discussion again?
What constitutes a non-resident? I guess that would be my first question.
Outside of city limits.
Okay. Which is that associated with where there are no library taxes that are being paid? Correct.
Yes.
Page 41.
Okay.
So the if I remember right, the governor had made it where there was a law that was approved where those under 18
yes.
can get a free card.
Okay.
Okay. And so that if they're outside of the city limits, and this is their library, one that they're closest to, that they can get a free card, but it's at the discretion of the local municipality or us essentially to adopt that. And so that's why we're here talking about this one, is that it's up to us to adopt it or not.
Okay. Well, and we're required to do it for a certain population, and now what we're that's what I understand.
Reading
now,
lunch. Yes.
Now what we are looking at is, okay, well, if we're going to do it for one population of people of non-residents, 18
right.
and under, will we do it for the rest of the 18 and under, or under 18 population mm-hmm. of non-resident?
Right.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So that's the question mm-hmm. that we need to answer at this point.
So can I ask you guys a question? Because to be honest, when we originally discussed this, I had not even considered the homeschooling issue, so I'm glad that you guys brought it up. In terms of, like, your taxes, is there a write-off for educational expenses?
No.
There is not.
There is nothing reimbursed to us for the taxes that we pay to the school. And honestly, my homeschool bill every year is $5,000.
On top of the $6,700 that we paid to the Yorkville School District,
which we cannot send our kids in our
school. But by choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but
by choice.
By choice, yeah, which we have that right to make that choice. But the issue really is then, and we have people choosing private schools too, the issue really is that with that choice, we have no access to any library, and no free access to any library, and we're already saddled with these school taxes that I think it would have to happen at, I mean, that's a state, a school choice thing, and I think that kind of has to happen at a state level where that money gets credited and stuff. So we're just asking for a little bit of help to offset that money that we see as, you know, kind of like a waste, especially since we have homeschool bills on top of that.
When you say access, do you mean just access to utilizing the library, or access as far as being able to check out the materials?
Or check out materials and utilize.
Because the library is, you can utilize the library as a, you know, coming into the library and utilize it. It's the checking out.
Yeah, and that's kind of really important to us, is to be able to get the materials, because they're writing book reports, and now we're purchasing all those books on top of just our regular curriculum.
So it's not the access.
Well,
it's the
both.
Accessibility to utilize the books. Because the library is a public library.
Yeah.
You can access it.
Yeah.
We have free programs that the kids
can
use. Everyone has access to the library. It's the accessibility to be able to check out.
Yeah, I guess
well,
that's all for
that. Access to databases and all that kind of stuff, too, that the library offers.
Yeah.
I understand. And then there's... I'm just asking. I should know better.
No, it's fine.
I know, you pay taxes into the school district, but you have to have your students enrolled in the schools to have access to those libraries. Is that accurate?
To the school libraries?
To school libraries, because they have access to databases and books and the like.
Yeah, they can't just have people coming up the streets to just walk in there and see
schools.
No.
Well, I'm not saying that they necessarily, I don't know. I would think that you'd have access maybe to the databases, I mean, electronically. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't
know.
I would think that since you pay taxes, you should. That's something we should bring up someplace.
And the other thing I thought about, which I don't know, again, I don't know about this, but I don't know if there's any way to have to get a credit from the schools, the taxes that we're paying the schools to cover our library cards.
We wouldn't know that because we're not the school district.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be actually something they'd be willing to give you.
Although, Molly, I think that's something that you really should be brought up, especially at a board level. I think that's something that maybe you should contact a board member for.
Congratulations.
That's a really important that's a really important issue, I think. Mm-hmm. So maybe something to consider. I would write all of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. A distinction. I mean, there's...
I know it is frustrating though to be paying into into the school district and not having access to those libraries.
And we did use the schools. I have two kids. I have 7 kids, but 2 of them graduated from Yorkville schools. But things kind of changed at COVID when we did the e-learning and we started to see the curriculum. And then there was a lot of issues with masking and vaccinations. And now the new sex ed, like that. That's just not stuff that I'm comfortable sending my kids into the middle of. So it's not like we hate public school. We just hate some of the stuff that's going on now with public schools. So we've had to remove our kids for that reason.
So then you didn't take into consideration the homeschool when we were looking at this?
No.
And so I don't know if we still need to have some discussion about this, or we listen.
Well, we do have to. Right.
Something else you might want to take into consideration too. When you're thinking about what's in city limits, the way things are drawn here are very odd. Because right behind you here, you have about 2.5 blocks that are considered township that are actually closer to the library than, say, Bristol Bay, which is in city limits. So you have people that live literally 30 steps, 40 steps away from the library that don't have access to it from their kids.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's like Georgiana, Pleasure, and one side of Sunset. That's all township.
But it's the zoning that creates that.
Can I ask for some clarification on the governor's bill? Do you know the details of what he wrote?
Just a little bit. So, it's either the governor's bill, and I think it was the governor's bill, or if it was just by the Illinois Congress, but... saying that, and it's allowed, it basically, they said, you know, 18-year-olds and under should have, or under 18 should have access to public libraries. But then it was determined later that should be at each municipality, each library should determine how that goes, whether or not they're going to endorse it or not.
Okay. I think the one is, I thought mandatory. The law requires
this
that
one does
libraries
not.
Waive the non-resident fee for minors. This is what you're asking about. But it has to do with economic eligibility.
Right. Right.
That's different.
That's a different one.
Yeah. This is, now they're saying we can make it available to make it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clarify because I had
that's what I'm asking for. So yeah.
Right. So there was one that has an economic eligibility issue, which we approved because it was mandatory. And then now they're saying, so what we're voting on now is they're saying, well, we can, if we want as a library, make it or waive that non-resident fee for minors. So that's what we're voting on today. And this is not an economic eligibility one, but the first one is mandatory, and it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's not required. That's why we're still having discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And determining if we're going to adopt it and approve it. The Public Act is 102-0843. It changes the library laws, but the new law does not require libraries to waive the non-resident fee for minors.
Right.
That's why we're having this discussion.
Okay.
That's
why
we're determining.
When he mentioned that, I just wanted a little bit more clarification.
Yes.
But yeah. No. I get you. Thank you.
So. We're trying to determine as a board if this is something that we're going to adopt.
Thank you.
Something that came up when we discussed this before was, and I staff would have to help us on this, how are we going to keep track of this?
Right. That, I mean, we had that discussion.
We
have to ask that to
I don't think we ever got to that discussion.
Well, this is why it still says discussion or approval. So it looks like we still need to do more discussion.
Well, during that discussion, I thought we came up with a solution, which was basically a different color library card.
But again,
I thought that was our
minor is checking something out. How do you know if it's for a 17-year-old for a school project or for mom who's looking up information on how to cook? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think there's any way to really track
whether you change the color of the card or not.
Well,
we don't police any of our pages.
Right, right. So, you can't police the
pages. I think you should change the color of the card. Not track what they're
doing. Right, just that way.
So, if say, like, you know, if the kids have a purple card.
Yes.
So, if an adult comes in with a purple card, they're
then you
know.
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is for 18 years.
But I'm coming in because my kid wants it. His name is clearly here. You can't just let me check
this out.
That's what
I'm saying. I don't think we have that.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't have that.
And then you guys have to deal with that nonsense.
Because,
no, I'm sorry. I can't let you check it out. You're not the one. You don't have your license. And then you got people. Because to me, give me a break. I'm just checking.
So you're saying that the parents would come in with the kid's card?
Well, sure.
But we
I let my kids walk in with my credit card.
But that's the choice. But I'm thinking
but
the libraries don't
be
dismissed.
But then it goes to where we ought that we pay our taxes, we pay into this.
Right, that's where
so
I struggle.
If
yeah.
it's being misused, is that fair to all the taxpayers? That's just where I'm going with that. We talked about
well,
that.
Well, is it fair that you
don't
get your taxes taken out
right.
from the top and pay into it? And pay a library fee, and other people don't have to pay a library fee.
How do we see that? You know, and maybe it won't be.
I don't know that that's a fight you want to make.
You know, I don't think I don't think we can police it because somebody can, inside the city limits who has a card can come in and they can pick up something for their child.
And we're already not policing
it
for the people who are minors and who are economically eligible for the free library card. You're not policing that.
I don't know.
So why would
police that? That's something that's totally different than
that's
in law forever.
It's still minors.
It's been in law, library law, forever.
I understand, but it's still minors who are getting a library card
but
they don't have to
pay. That comes under something different.
Yes.
You cannot police that.
And you can't police that.
It's just like kids.
But why should we know the difference as a library worker?
Just checking people out,
man.
Who's checking?
Why would you know the difference?
Okay, well,
this person is economically eligible. You're going to give somebody a pink card, somebody a green card, somebody a purple card. Now I got to show you my pink card and let you know that I'm poor.
That's not what you're saying. You're taking it to a
different
card.
I don't think the cards should be different.
Which crime?
I think in this case it should.
Yes.
That's kind of a tax break for people.
Again, though, what if you're giving out free cards, and I understand that it's mandatory and it's the law. If you're giving out free cards to non-resident minors for one issue, how could you control whether or not they're misusing the card any more than non-resident people who don't meet
the only thing that they
the financial
because of their situation? Let me give you an example.
I don't
when
see
I worked at the school and you have kids on free and reduced, you can't flag them any different. They get the same thing any other kid does.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, like, you couldn't give, like, at one time they used to give them a different color, and they're like, no, you can't send them.
Right. So what I'm saying is if you can't flag them, why should you be able to flag another population
because
of people?
Because that population is a low income.
They're both.
You're giving them a break from their kids.
But they're both non-resident minors. So non-resident minors of low income are allowed to take advantage of the system based on what we're saying. And non-residents who are not low income are not allowed to take advantage of the
system. Is that something that has to be taken up at a higher level than what we are? Because that's been in place since before any of us have been on the board.
I think we just have to decide whether
that's a state level.
Can I interject something?
Go ahead.
So something from like the city council perspective would be, if you did the separate cards, we would want to see, like, you're going to use the counter to count how many people come in. We would want to see how many non-resident people are actually using it. So when you have your annual vote, you see if the system is actually working, if people are actually coming in and using it.
Again, but then you would still have to do it for the non-resident minors who have economic eligibility as well.
Right,
you want to keep track of
it's not based on money, it's based on usage.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is it's still non-resident minors who get a library card for free.
These people who are living outside of the
because
city
it's not
limits,
so are the other people.
But they might not be.
The law applies to non-resident minors.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
But it's not based on your economic
standard. Right. I don't know why that matters.
But why
are non-resident minors getting?
So you just want all of them the same color.
Yeah.
Then they're blended in with the ones.
Yeah. Why are we policing one group but we're not policing another?
Well, then who's policing them all? I think we should keep. I think you, Craig, you have a good example to keep track of it, just to see how that impacts our numbers.
Keep track of one and not the other.
So then we keep track of. You're right. Then we keep track of them all. Darryl, somehow.
But yes,
you can't keep track of anybody under it.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think we should somehow keep track.
Interject for just a moment and ask our circulation manager to give me a little bit about what we're doing now with this program that we just approved that we've had in place for years.
Okay, so the cards can typically have one family that takes advantage of that annually, and they need to prove economic choice, so that's just that family. We don't really police that. I would not like to see my staff put in a position, if you do pass this, that we are calling people out on what they're checking out, because that is just a point of contention at us. It's just so subjective.
Responsible for that material should it get damaged or go lost or something.
Can I ask you a question?
Still involved.
As it stands now with residents, would you allow a parent to come up and pick up a book for a child using a child's card?
Yeah.
That should be the same
for the child's card.
The difference is the card is for the entire family versus we're paying into it, so it's for the whole family versus this is specifically for 18 and under.
It's for the entire family until that child becomes five. When the child
becomes
5 to 18, then the child is allowed to get their own library card.
So the family separates off of it.
And most children want their own card.
Sure.
So they come in at 5 and they get their card, they get their picture taken, and gets put up in the library and so forth. So, I mean, seems like we still need to do some discussion on this.
And because I think it's what was like $3,500 or something a year that it.
Well, it was the estimate.
We were looking at the offset of the cost, just so you know, in respect to our budget and what it costs and all the impending repairs and the chiller and all these things that we had looking at. So was it at this moment the time in which we should make that decision, and how would that financially impact the library?
Correct.
Which is all of our jobs are here.
Yes. Which has already been rolled into
the budget.
The budget actually accommodates for the removal of that amount, that estimate that we had.
It's about 4,000.
It was about 3,500, 4,000.
Yes.
So our budget actually has that withdrawn from it.
It is already withdrawn.
It's withdrawn.
Okay.
For the 18th.
Yes, yes.
So that, as if we have already
voted on it, right.
Okay. Is that what you're anticipating the cost of allowing non-resident children to have cards would be, about $3,500?
It's about what it's been in the past,
yeah.
What non-residents have paid into the annual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what they paid.
Yes.
That's what you would
to get
with.
The cards.
That's
okay.
What you would
okay.
Lose.
Okay.
Right. And I thought it was only for the one that we voted on, or what the law requires. I didn't realize that $3,500 was already
subtract.
Taken out.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't realize that.
In this new budget that Rob put together, it's already subtracted out.
Okay.
Do you think you will retain some of that still, because some of those residents aren't minors? Or
I don't think there's much way to tell.
It's hard to tell, yeah.
It's really hard to tell. And so there have been a lot of issues. I don't know if you've been paying... if you've been kind of watching, but like, again, the chiller, it's tens of thousands of dollars over the last, months. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And
so that's been kind of very trying, because it's,
well, fiscally, we have to be
smart. So I will tell you that, yeah. And, It's a very difficult decision. This homeschooling thing kind of threw up.
It was something we actually had not thought about.
No, we did
not.
But I also think, too, that should be taken into consideration. But then there's also some aspects that you've brought up that need to be taken to different levels as well. Perhaps the school, if there's some sort of rebate. If there's some, I mean, there's a few things that you guys also brought up that are out of our
hands.
Darren, do you anticipate the school giving us a rebate?
I'm not even on it yet.
We wouldn't be able to make that decision either.
What is in your hands? So you could approve under 18 to get a free library card. That is your,
That's on the table.
Yeah. Local decision.
Rosie, you had
it's a couple things. Just recognizing the fact that I understand that you pay for the taxes for the schools,
sure.
But at the same time, we're not getting that benefit because there's a separate program for us to get our revenue in order to keep things running in the library. I mean, my concern is, I know we don't police it, and that's fine, but then are we talking about, are we then putting ourselves at risk that we are losing that revenue because now the system's being manipulated?
Yeah.
And now what was a family subscription is no longer, because now we found a way around it.
None of us have them.
Yeah. So My thought is that a child should always have access to a library.
They do.
They do have access.
That is the distinction that we need to remember, is that there is access.
Yes.
It's just not
removable. Right.
That's like going to the grocery store and looking at the food.
But you have to be looking at the
Yeah.
You have to be looking at the
You have to look at your
canvas. You can't just have parts and pieces. We have to be looking.
And we have, even for the homeschools, I'm thinking now, you do have the accessibility to utilize the library anytime. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of our programs. Can they use our study rooms?
If no one else is waiting.
If no one's waiting, okay.
Yeah.
And then if they don't have the assessor.
For every age group.
Okay. And then as far as the books, I mean, if you no one's using and you want to utilize the books, I mean, because we haven't made a decision yet, but you can utilize the books while you're here and enjoy some of our programs as well while you're here in the library. I mean, there's always a way to do it. We have not adopted. We're still discussing, just like we need a lot more of discussion about it and not make this decision tonight. That's not my choice. It's the board's choice, but that's what I'm kind of moving towards.
Well, it definitely sounds like we have more information to be considering.
Yes.
Obviously, as you were saying, Tara, I wouldn't even have thought about the
homeschooling. No.
Yeah.
No.
Did we decide, or is this something we're voting on? Annually.
If we did it,
because I read this paper and it seemed like it was arguing place.
So it's something we can adopt, and it's something that we can repeat over, or we can take.
Well, that was my thought. It's just a potential option if it is something like after
so
a year, we're like, this is a bad idea.
Maybe that's how we make the motion. Yeah. We test it for a year.
Like a trial.
Right?
I think I would be more comfortable having Shelly answer questions for us before we make a decision.
I think that we would try to adopt it at the next month's board meeting. I mean, this is a new perspective here, the homeschool.
Yeah.
And you definitely need to take into consideration because no child should not have the ability to not utilize a book. Because reading is essential. It's part of literacy, early literacy. So I think that I'm saying, from my point of view, we should continue our discussion and try to adopt this, if we're going to, next month.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak with our library director, who's absent today, we can speak more to her about some of the questions that we have.
I like the idea of adding like a 1 year trial.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more.
Yes.
I like that.
So you decide.
I mean, I would like to actually, well, I'd like to make a motion that we try this for 1 year, just right now. Just that's, you know, I understand you want to talk, that there are some that want to talk to Shelly. I mean,
do we have it in writing that we can change
if the we know? Oh, yeah, for sure. We can. If that's a 1 year, it's not.
If you do that, though, I would suggest you find some way to track it to see how it's used.
Sure.
When you have that decision to make your data.
Absolutely. And there's, to me, data is important. And you can't be without data. There is data there. You have to, and I agree with that as far as tracking and being able to see.
So on the non-residents we have right now, do we track as far as groups or anything like that?
We can run reports to see how many we have paid for the system. Shelly did develop.
Yes.
I think I'd like to see that report before I made that decision.
Okay. Then I say that we table this till next month.
Second.
I don't think we need a roll call for that. No, it's not money. So next month we will definitely make a decision. All voice vote? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All in favor?
All in favor of tabling this till next month?
Aye.
Okay. We will definitely make a decision on this next month. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. We did not.
Yes,
this is
we get forgotten a lot.
All right. Okay, next is the budget. And so.
We'll head out of here now so you guys can talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Can we approve the budget?
We have to approve
the
budget. Yeah, now we have to decide.
And we're not making.
Well, then we have to have another board meeting within 2 weeks.
Yeah, this has
to be. I agree with some of the stuff they say, but.
Okay, so. We either adopt the budget the way it is.
And we have to adopt it as. I think we can adopt it as is and then with the.
It would just be a line item.
Yeah.
So, what would we say then?
be non-resident cards.
For the school dedicated service. What page?
Is page 44.
Okay.
Library subscription card, 3500.
Yeah, 3500.
That's like 144.
Right.
So, library subscription card? That's the one?
So, if that's in the budget and you don't approve this, we may just bring in more than.
Right, so I don't.
We don't have to do anything.
I don't think
that.
We have to do anything about it because I mean it's just an estimate of what we've. Okay. It's just an estimate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. So I don't think we have to go back and have Rob increase the amount because so we bring in more. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, it would be more. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also
you
should be looking for
two. Yes. What line item were
you on? Oh, yeah, that's the next thing, but we got to do the budget first. So, on
page
44, you're looking under the. Where is it again? Number.
Library subscription?
Yeah, library subscription cards.
That's non resident right there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 line items.
4401?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So, adopted and projected, is that the discrepancy?
So, it's a proposed
answer.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
saying it's proposed to be 3,500.
Gotcha.
So, it's based if we don't go ahead with this, it will go up.
Sure.
It's a proposed number.
All right.
As long as we're not going to go down.
Right.
So, we would
if we added at the 11.
Yes.
And then we change this.
Down to 3,500. So in 2022, we were at 8378.
Yes.
But now we will be.
That's a lot of money.
Estimate is 3,500 if we adopt it.
I mean, if we adopt it.
Amount.
That's crazy. So,
but it's proposed.
Right. It's not solid.
It's not solid. Okay. Which again, numbers or information.
That's why we have to talk to Shelley.
Shelley.
And get all the details.
I'm a retired.
So there's some facts I'm struggling with. So
yeah, I have a few myself.
They've said that they don't get library cards now.
None of
them. Right.
Not
right.
Them.
None
right.
of them have library cards now.
Because they're out of the city.
Right. But there clearly are people who live outside
yes.
who do.
Yes,
and
yeah.
now we're
right.
giving a benefit to people who don't even take the library card
correct.
And saying, here's
Ginger.
Your minor
yes.
can have a free card. But what about the people who do pay and have
well, Shelley did look at the homes that did have children in them that were buying subscription cards. And that's where some of this number, the drop down comes from,
yeah.
is that maybe that those homes, it's the child that wants the card, and so that's this 3,500 is looking into taking into account those who normally purchase a card that have children.
I understand. I understand that, but it's it goes a little bit back to the principle of the whole program, where now we're saying okay, well that's okay, but then we're not policing what they're taking out, which I understand that portion of it. But is it fair to the people who are paying the taxes?
Right.
And I understand they're paying it to the school, but that doesn't benefit the library.
Right.
But that's also their choice.
Right, I was just going to say it's a choice.
Right. Yes,
I
agree.
School.
Yes.
My dad, oh, we're paying the taxes, we're going to get the school. It's their choices.
Right.
Well, that's
yes.
why.
Yes.
Right.
You
just did.
The taxes are taxes.
Right. And I'm with you. I think that's not fair to the people who are buying it. Oh, I've bought it all these years.
And it's not a benefit.
But to your point, they still have the ability to come into the library, use the facility,
mm-hmm.
use the books, and keep the books here. So it's not that they don't have access to a library or they don't have access to the books. They do. And to services that are provided here.
They just need to take the book out because
they're not. So it's not, and that was kind of my point too, the distinction you I think you were making as well, is there is no one's taking anyone's access
no.
away.
No.
That is not
no.
none of that is going away.
No.
but would be, I mean, because in that case, I feel like, too, that's, you open up to who, and it just starts to muddy the waters, and you just...
Too many distinctions.
Then you just need to open it up to everyone, which...
So you should say every taxpayer has a household. I mean, let's look at it this way. You know, you've got kids under 18. Mm-hmm. So do you get a tax break on your library because... Your kids under 18?
Right. No, I don't.
You don't?
Yeah, right.
I have kids under 18.
No. You're not wrong, Jack. Yeah, I agree. You don't get to write off.
And we don't
get
the balls.
Kind of, mm-hmm. I understand kids, and then you said, tell us there's only one. There's a lot of kids. Well, I don't know if they're the same, but anyhow.
Right.
I just don't think it's fair. Especially when we're trying to... Mm-hmm. There's so much that needs to be done to this building and that.
Yeah, so the taxpayers are paying, the residents are paying into the library, and there are a lot of other things that our money has to go to.
Yeah. And maybe, just even think there's some elderly people who can't even get here and don't even take care of it. It's on their tax bill, their property.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a program for elderly people.
We still deliver.
We deliver to them. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, there's something we maybe need to think about because whatever.
Where are you going?
I'm kind of It's hard. And I don't think in any way, I think there's two different issues here. None of us are trying to deny access to a child for books or education.
Correct.
But at the same time, we have that responsibility to the library to make it it fair to everyone and also be able to pay our bills here. Mm-hmm. And you're hurt. I look at it as you're kind of hurting the residents of your club by doing this, who are paying their taxes, and then we have all this stuff, you know, they're coming up, chillers and carpeting or whatever. We have to think of all of that.
Yes.
They've been supporting us back
all
here.
It's
a choice to live in a little pocket of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, they don't live in the city.
Right.
And so
perhaps it's up to you, the rezoning.
Yeah, it's
the zoning.
I said it was the zoning.
Because then you'll be charged
for a while. Something else to think about when you look at that is, right now, even though they're not privy to the discounts like you would get being on the city's contract for garbage, they have to contract their own garbage company.
Yes.
So
we have packets right for BR, too.
So it's kind of the same thing. You're not benefiting from the group rate. You're paying a higher rate of garbage because you're your own individual. So I mean, the reason I talk about the zoning, my house is the last house in city limits. My neighbor, her backyard butts up to the side of my house. She's in township.
Gotcha.
My neighbors behind me are township.
Sure.
So the property tax difference is almost half. So what they're saying about they don't want to pay for it, well, that's the choice you made by living outside of city limits.
Yes.
You're paying a less of a property tax.
Right.
Yeah. So,
to me, if you, again, it goes back to choice. If you choose to homeschool, and the reasons that were presented here as to why, which are none of my business,
right,
why you are going to homeschool is not, this is that, that's not something that we even
make
need
a decision
take
about
to consideration. It's not, it's, it, it,
right,
it's just not fiscally what we need to be considering fiscally for the overall good of the library, which still everyone has access. Let me just repeat that. No one's being
they can even go into Oswego.
Yeah,
they have access
all
to anyone.
All libraries.
Any library. Any library. Yes. You just can't take materials out.
Right. So we're
pertaining to our budget.
Okay.
I don't think you have to worry about it.
No. I don't think so either. I'm just.
And if we don't vote on it, it's just going to go back up to the other amount. It isn't going to be. If it was something that are changing that would decrease it, then I'd say, look at it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if we say, hey, we're not going to let these, be over under 18,
got it.
That amount's just going to go up.
Right.
If possibly, because they're going to have to pay for it.
Right. Okay. So motion to approve the fiscal 24 budget as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Reichstag?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next is to approve closing the library for staff to attend the
Pug Day.
Mary Cat.
Mary Cat users group.
Yes.
Okay, conference on September 29th, yes. 2023.
Yes. For the fifth, since COVID.
Yes.
It's been Zoom. They're going back to in-person for the first time in 3 or 4 years. This year, it's a good opportunity for staff to get together with other staff from other libraries in Prairie Cat. They have different workshops throughout the day on different items. So,
and it's close by. Mm-hmm. Isn't
it is really close by.
It's Mission Grove.
So I'll make a motion that we approve closing the library for staff to attend the Prairie Cat Users Group conference.
Second.
You want to roll call? Mm-hmm. Okay. Milchewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reichstag?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Pasola?
Yes.
And next we have our reminder that the statement of economic interest, that form is due May 1st to the Kendall County Clerk's Office.
And there is a penalty if it's not
Someone charged.
Yeah, they get charged.
It
is very weird to do that online.
That's what
I had to do.
Yeah. The online version is that is different.
I don't know if you have
to do that. Sizes are weird. No.
Okay, then there's no other business. No reason to go into executive session. We're adjourned.
I did it online. I submitted it.
Oh,